Well, praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Luke today. Emmanuel has come. God with us, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is all about, in fulfillment of the prophecies. Well, we're glad to have visiting with us James Haley today from Cambridge Springs. We haven't seen James for a while. He left a boy and came back a man. And he's 21 when? Today? So happy birthday. You going to be here tonight for your pencil? No, won't be able to be here, but all right. Happy birthday anyway. There you go. All right, we're in Luke chapter 15 this morning, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God and for your preserving it for us even unto this day and throughout all generations as you have promised. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your presence here among us and for your Spirit's presence within us who are saved. We thank you, my Lord, for the power of your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds to your truth, to the gospel, and I pray that by your Holy Spirit you'd open the lips of your servant to speak. Father, we come this morning and we know our own weakness, we know our own neediness, and we thank you that you love us and ask that you might minister to our hearts today. Help us to see the things that are needful for us to see, and then help us to go and do the things that are necessary for us to do for the glory of God and for the salvation of the lost. I ask that you might magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. And we'll thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. We're constantly making value judgments. The word value, according to the American Dictionary of the English Language, means worth, price, rate of worth set upon a commodity, importance, significance, and to esteem. Now, the word better is used in the King James Bible to give the sense of worth or value. And the Bible says that men are of more value than sparrows in Matthew 10:31. The Bible says that men are of more value than ravens in Luke chapter 12, verse 24. The Bible says men are of more value than sheep in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 12. And the Bible says that men are of more value than money in our text, Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. Now, why is it that mankind, men and women, human beings, why is it that we are more valuable than anything else on planet Earth? It's because that human beings have an eternal soul. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible says, And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That is said of no other creature except mankind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45, it is recorded again. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. When God looks upon planet Earth, He looks beyond the great mountains. He looks beyond the expanse of oceans. He looks beyond the mighty forests. He looks beyond the magnificent animal kingdom and sees the individual human soul. Your soul. And my soul. That part of us created uniquely for us by the living God. The difference between mankind and animals, the difference between mankind and the planet and the sun and the moon and the stars, is that they are temporal, while the soul of man is eternal. The heavens and the earth shall pass away, the Bible says, 5 times in the New Testament. However, our souls will not pass away. 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that in our earthly house of this tabernacle we're dissolved. We have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's if we're saved. If a person is saved, God has promised to you that there's an eternal house for your eternal soul waiting for you in the heavens. But if you've never been saved, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. And so if you're here today, or you're watching, or you're listening, and you're saved, God said you have an eternal soul, and He's got an eternal house for you, for that soul in the heavens. But if you're here today, or you're watching, or you're listening, and you've never been saved, and you die without Christ as your Savior, the Bible says there's an eternal place of torment and fire where your eternal soul will spend eternity. The word destruction used in this verse is the Greek word olethros. It means, now pay attention, ruination, but not annihilation. It means the loss of all well-being. Now think about it. God is light, there will be no light. God is love, there will be no love. God is good, there will be no goodness. God is peace, there will be no peace for all eternity. God is joy, and without Him there will be no joy for all eternal. And the Bible says that at His hand, at His right hand, are pleasures forevermore. There are no pleasures in hell. Do you understand? Hell is the absence of all that God is. And God is interested in you. He's interested in you as an individual. He's interested in you as a soul. You know, in the world, we have movements like Black Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter. But for God, and therefore, or thereby, for the truly born-again Christian, the cause we should be concerned about is human souls matter. That's really what counts. Because the soul will live on, either in heaven or in hell. And it's the soul that makes all lives matter. Allow me to share with you 3 things concerning the human soul. Number one, we find it here in our text, Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. The first point this morning is this, the value of one. The value of one. We get so caught up in crowds and numbers. And we can go to the mall and there's hundreds of people, thousands of people. We go to a game, there's tens of thousands of people. And we sometimes fail to see that every single human being is a soul. And And we need to understand the value of one. What was the Lord's point in this parable? The value of one. Did not the man who lost his sheep have yet 99? Why didn't he just say, oh, well, it's only one sheep. I've still got 99. I ain't going to worry about that one sheep. No, he went out and he looked for that one sheep. Why? Because that one sheep had value to him. And the woman who had 10 pieces of silver, she lost one. Why didn't she just say, well, you know what? I still got 9 pieces of silver. I'm okay. I got everything covered. No, she went and diligently searched and sought for one silver piece. Why? Because it had value to her. And yet, both of them labored and searched for the one. And what was the result of finding the one? They rejoiced. Ha ha! I found it! I got it! Hey! I found the silver piece! There are 99 over here. I mean, there's 9 over here. Hey! Everybody! I found my sheep! Oh, I thought I had lost a sheep. I looked everywhere for it. I found it! Woohoo! He has 99 of them. You see how important the one is? You see how valuable the one is? Look at Luke chapter 19, if you would. You keep your place here if you like, but go over to Luke chapter 19, a few pages to your right. And look at verse 10. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Look what the Bible says. For the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Son of Man is come. Why did he come? To seek and save that which was lost. You know, dear person, if you're here today and you've not saved, you're watching, listening, and you've never been saved, that's why he came. He's looking for you this morning. He knows who you are, he knows where you are, and he came, and he's looking for you. Go with me over to Luke chapter 15. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Now look at Luke chapter 15 and verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now that word repenteth means to change the mind. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What promise? That he's going to come and destroy the earth. He's not slack concerning his promise as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Here it is, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is saying to us, he said, I don't want one sheep to be lost. I don't want one coin to be lost. I want all people to change their mind. I want all people to be saved. God's will is for sinners, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, to change their minds and agree with him about the value of a soul and the means of its salvation. And that's why he writes to us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God says, if you think you can work your way to heaven, my will is you change your mind and agree with me that salvation is by grace through faith. God's saying, listen, if you think that you can get to heaven by being religious, I want you to change your mind. My will is for you to hear me, change your mind, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. If you think that you can be good enough to get to heaven, God said, I'm not willing that you should perish, but you're going to perish unless you change your mind and agree with me that there's none good but God and that you need to have Christ as your Savior. At Calvary, there were two thieves. They were both guilty sinners. They both saw the same Christ. They both heard his same words. But one changed his mind and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved, and the other didn't and died lost and went to hell forever. Now, was the Lord willing for that man to die? The Bible says he's not. He didn't want him to die and go to hell. Then why did he? Because God will not force you to believe. Forced faith is no faith. All throughout the New Testament, we see the value of just one soul. One woman at a well, John chapter 4. One man in a graveyard, Mark chapter 5. One man in a chariot, Acts chapter 8. One man in a prison, Acts chapter 16. One lame man on a porch, John chapter 5. One blind man, John chapter 9. One tax collector, John chapter 19. One woman with a disease, Matthew chapter 9. One. Jesus went to one by one by one. He preached to crowds, but he saw the value of going to one. The Lord Jesus sees us one by one. He comes to us one by one, and he saves us one by one. You parents, do you see your children only as a crowd? Or do you see them one by one and know their names and love them individually? You grandparents, do you only see a group called grandchildren? Or do you see them one by one and know them individually? Do we only have a conglomerate called family or a conglomerate called friends? Or do we know each one by name and value each one individually? You get my point? The value of one. My second point is the importance of one. We're in the same passage in Luke chapter 15. And in our parable is disclosed the importance of one. Suddenly, when it was lost, the one became the concern and its importance was realized. Right? This guy had 100 sheep. He liked each one. And I'll tell you, the shepherds know each sheep. And they know the condition of each sheep. And here was one particular sheep, was just part of the sheep. But now he's lost. All of a sudden he has greater importance, doesn't he? And now the concern of the shepherd is now directed to this one. Why? Because it's lost. It's important now that I leave these and go after this one. Why? Because it's important now. Why? Because it has value. The lady had 10 pieces of silver. She lost one. All of a sudden, that one piece is important to her because it's what? It's lost. Now it becomes the object of her concern and of her search. How important is a lost soul? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's each individual, isn't it? Believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, God so loved you. You see, Jesus didn't just come for mankind. He came for you. Because you're a soul. You're an eternal soul. And he knows you. And he knows your name. You're important to him. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He is the shepherd. He is the woman who had the coins. They represent him. And he's saying, this is how valuable you are. I'm willing to leave the glories of heaven and the comforts of heaven to come down to a sin-cursed earth and walk in the muck and the mire of this planet. Because you're so important, I want to find you. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm glad he came and found me. I didn't find him. I was lost. I was wandering around in the desert. I was trying this and trying that and trusting that and trusting that. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just trying to get by. But Jesus came and found me and saved me. I'm glad I was valuable enough for him to come from heaven. I'm glad I was important enough for him to come to me as an individual. You, my friend, are the lost sheep. You are the lost coin. The soul for whom Jesus left heaven to come and search for. Think about it. You know, value brings importance. Something is important according to the value that's placed upon it. Now, I might have a penny in my pocket, and I might lose it, but it's not as important that I find that penny as it is that I find that silver dollar. Why? Because I place a lot of value upon that silver dollar. I place more importance on it than I do that penny. Our priorities are value assignments. We place a priority on things and people that have value. And the more value we assign, the more important they are. This word value means a price. It means a rate of worth set upon a commodity. Someone just said to me this morning, well, how much are those chocolate bars? I should have said 50 bucks. But I know that I don't have that much value. So I said $2. Why did I say $2? Because that's what it's worth. That's the price of worth that's set upon that commodity. Now, if we're going to sell you a leather-bound Bible, it ain't $2. It's more like 50. Why? Because that's the rate of worth that we have placed on that particular commodity. We just happen to believe that Bibles are more important than chocolate bars. The importance of the human soul is known by the value placed upon it, or its price, or its rate of worth. And what was the price or rate of worth that God set upon the commodity of the human soul? The incarnation of God Himself. The price for one human soul was that God would have to leave heaven and come down here, and if that weren't enough, He would have to be born of a human virgin. Now, we think it's pretty cool to be born, but I happen to believe in my heart that it was a pretty disgusting experience for the God of glory. That He was willing to pay the price to confine Himself to a human womb and then confine Himself to a human body and be dependent upon eating food with His mouth and walking on His feet and touching things with His hand and being here at all. But He was willing to pay the price. Why? For the human soul. What's the price or the value or the rate of worth that is placed upon the commodity of the human soul? How about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Not only did God come, but He was willing to die on a cross. He was willing to be beaten and ridiculed and mocked and tortured and hung on a cross. He was willing to pay that price because of the value of the human soul. He was willing to actually allow His life's blood to drain from His body as He hung there on the cross. That's the price He was willing to pay. He who is life was willing to become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and to be buried in the dank earth. That's the price He was willing to pay for one human soul. Praise God, he rose again from the dead. Because even the grave couldn't keep him. And death could not claim him. How about the life and blood of the Son of God? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus was willing to pay the price. God the Father was willing to pay the price. Why? Because of the value and importance of one single human eternal soul. How important is your soul? Important enough that God would become a man and be made sin? So that you could be made righteousness? Now listen to me. Wasn't it bad enough that he had to come from heaven to earth? Wasn't it bad enough that he had to be in a human body? Wasn't it bad enough he had to die on a cross? Wasn't it enough he had to shed his blood? Wasn't it enough he had to be buried in the grave? But listen, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, that's God the Father, hath made him, that's God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Listen to this, 1 Peter 2:4, talking about Christ, who his own self bare our sins, in his own body upon the tree. That's the price he was willing to pay. He who is holiness and purity was willing to become or made sin. That's the price he was willing to pay. Why? Because of the value and the importance I'm an eternal human soul. And so there is the value of one, isn't there? There is the value of one and there's the importance of one. But my third point is this. The power of one. One person can make a big difference. You know, probably some of us in this room today can think of one person who made a big difference in our life. You know, one person can make a big difference for good, and one person can make a big difference for evil. How about Caesar, Napoleon, Hitler, Bin Laden? They're only one person. But they made a difference for evil, didn't they? How about Chamberlain, Washington, Lincoln? How about George Washington Carver? Thurgood Marshall, Jim Thorpe, Betty Ross, Catherine the Great. And we can go on and on and on. But in the history of mankind, there have been hundreds of millions of people that have been born. And how many single ones have made a difference in history? Have made a difference in countries? Their lives and their names reverberate down through history. But they were only one. One man or one woman has changed the course of history by the power of their life. A hero rushes into a burning building. Just one man, just one woman. But make a difference. One person takes a stand. One person lays down their life. One person speaks out. Or one person does a deed that makes a difference in the lives of many. There was only one Abraham. There was only one Solomon. Only one David. Only one Daniel. Only one Peter. Only one Paul. And yet those individual single lives made a difference that changed the course of history. When God created, how many did he create? One. Created man. And out of man, he created woman. But even they were what? One. See the power of one? Adam was only one man. But he plunged the entire world into sin. One man in a garden changed the course of eternity for many. Look with me in Romans chapter 5. Let's turn there, please. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Do you know that Adam had an influence in your life and my life? How? By plunging me and you and all mankind into sin and bringing about death. There was one man on a cross with the power to deliver sinners from the just and deserved punishment of their sins brought upon us by the one man in the garden. His name is Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteousness. There was one man in a garden who plunged the whole world into sin and brought about death, but there's another man, one man, who on a cross, who brought salvation from sin and eternal life and victory over death. One man, the man Christ Jesus. No other individual has affected human history or the human condition or human eternity more than Christ, the Messiah. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 and 12, it says, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. One man with one sacrifice brought salvation by grace through faith. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 23, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's exactly what Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 is telling us. Now, you're here today, and you are one man, or you are one woman. One person who affects the lives and future and history of others. And let me dare say this. You are one individual who literally affects the history of the world. You say, well, preacher, come on, that's a little bit much to think that I can affect the history of the world. Think about it for a minute. It was one Sunday school teacher named Mr. Kimball, one man, who led the great evangelist D.L. Moody to Christ. And Moody's life and ministry changed the eternal destiny of hundreds of thousands and changed human history in the process. One little old Sunday school teacher, tucked away somewhere in a church nobody even knew about. It was one woman, Susanna Wesley, whose life affected her sons Charles and John so much that they went out and changed history with the preaching of the gospel and the writing of hymns which we sing unto this day. You do not know, my friend, who you may influence, who may influence another, who will influence another, who will influence history. There may be somebody that you have ministered to or you have been an example to who will become a world leader, a great benefactor of thousands. You do not know. Each life has the potential, doesn't it? There is power in your life for good or for evil. There is power in your life. But which power? Is it the power of Christ operating, or is it the power of the sinful self? You see, only the Lord Jesus Christ can save a lost sinner and make him or her something and someone they could never be without him. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Only the power of one life, the Lord Jesus, has the power to save. The Bible says neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. When you know the power of Christ in salvation, only then can you know the power of Christ in life. And only as you live as a Christian filled with the Holy Spirit can you truly make a difference for good that might change the world. God sees the value of one, the importance of one, and the power of one. He sees the power of your life. You see, he saw the value of it. He saw the importance of it. And now he sees the power of it. Every person in this room has power to influence somebody else, either for good and God or for evil. We're so shallow as human beings. We assign value because of race, or natural origin, or political affiliation, or natural abilities, and all manner of variables that really mean nothing. Who cares what color you are? Your soul doesn't have a color. Amen. Who cares what politics you follow? Your soul is not political. Who cares where you were born? Your soul has no country. And yet we look at all these things and assign value judgments because of them, and they mean absolutely nothing when we come to the end. That is why the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, that God is no respecter of persons, but we are. Aren't you glad he's not? He looks at the poor soul and he sees it exactly as he sees the rich soul. In the end, nothing will matter except the soul. Houses, fortunes, fitness, fame, politics, positions, religions, traditions, national origins, and all the other human distinctions will be stripped away, and all that will be left is the naked soul before the Creator God. Yeah. All the little props that you use to hold you up will be gone. And you will be clothed either in the acceptable righteousness of Christ or the rags of your own unacceptable self-righteousness. Isaiah the great prophet said, all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. But the Bible says that Christ became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Paul the Apostle wrote this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The value of a soul, of one. The importance of one. And the power of one. Let's bow for a word of prayer. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, those of you who are born again, you're saved. As born again Christians, we should see and know the value and importance of every single soul. We should treasure the power of one, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save. And see those around us as those for whom He came, for whom He died, and for whom He rose again, and whom He desires to be saved. We should understand the power of one life, our own, to influence those around us to Christ and for Christ. And maybe this morning, dear Christian, as you sit there and think about these things, you know in your heart that you have squandered some of the power of your life of influence. And this morning you're saying, dear God, I want to be an influence for Christ, an influence for good. I want to be one that Jesus can use. And maybe you're here today, or maybe you're watching or listening and you've never been saved, you've never been born again. The Bible says you are the one whom the Lord cares about being saved. Your soul has value and you are important to Him. He loves you and has done everything needed to be done in order for you to be saved and born into the family of God spiritually. For Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You may never have another opportunity to be saved again. That thief on the cross who refused to trust Christ never had another opportunity, but went out into eternity lost and condemned. In Romans 8:1, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Call upon Him while you may, for your life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanishes away. Maybe there's someone here in this room today who, after hearing what you heard, you understand. And you now understand the value of a human soul. And you now understand that the only price that could possibly pay for a human soul was the blood and the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Son of God and God the Son. And right now you'd like to trust Him to forgive your sins and save your soul and be your Savior right now. You can do it right where you sit. It's a simple prayer of faith, and I'll help you with it if you want me to. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior this morning and be free from the condemnation of sin and the eternal punishment that you deserve, and you'd like to trust Christ as your Savior, look up at me right now. No one's looking up, just you. I'll see you, and I'll know that you want to trust Christ as your Savior. Anybody like that here today, just keep looking up till I see you. Don't look back down until our eyes meet. Is that what you need to do? Yes? All right, what you want to understand is it's not a magic prayer. It's a prayer of faith. The Bible says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. If you truly believe in your heart what you say to God, He accepts it as faith. So why don't you bow your head and say something like this to the Lord. Just say, dear God, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. And I know I can't save my own soul. But I believe Jesus Christ came to earth, died on the cross, and shed His blood to pay for my sins and rose again from the dead. And right now, I accept the payment Jesus made for me. I trust you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior and none other. Come into my heart. Come into my life as my Savior. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for saving me. If you prayed that prayer in your heart, I want you to look up. Did you mean it? God saw it. And according to the Bible, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You've been born into God's family. You're a child of God. That's an eternal relationship. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. Lord, we love you. But the Bible says we love you because you first loved us. And thank you for that. Lord, I've never been able to get over the fact that you loved me and saved me by your grace and that you keep me by your power. I've never got over the fact, my Father, that you would do this for one soul. And that was mine. And thank you for that soul today that trusted Christ. And thank you that the power of the blood never diminishes and the ability of Jesus to save never does as well. I pray you'd bless us as Christians that we would know our lives count and we'd use them for the glory of God. Help us now, my Father. Bless the invitation. Glorify yourself. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn. Number 129, At the Cross. Here's our invitation this morning. You're here as a born-again Christian, and God has spoken to your heart. The Bible says we're supposed to sanctify the Lord God in our heart and be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh us a reason for the hope that is in us. If God's sanctified in your heart, you'll be a ready witness. And maybe this morning you need to come, Christian, and say, you know what, Lord? I need to sanctify you in my heart because I want to be your witness. I want to be a testimony. I want to be an influence for good and for the glory of God. All right? If you need to come and pray, feel welcome to do so as we sing on the first.